I want to speak to us very, very quickly tonight and tell you my story. And tell you my story in the simplest way that I possibly can. If you like for a subject, I take this evening Jackpa with Purpose. Look at your neighbor for me, say Jackpa with Purpose. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 127, and I'll ask you to read it properly because that's the only scripture that I turn to as I tell a story very quickly tonight. Psalm 127 and in verse 1, Bible tells us it's a psalm of Solomon, a wise man. And he made a statement there. He said, except the Lord will build the house. He said, the labor in vain that build it. We know the rest of it. As I speak to young people this evening, the life that is in front of you is almost like a building project. Almost like the text of Psalm 127 verse 1. What the Bible says, except the Lord will build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Now that scripture is a very dangerous scripture. This is what I mean by that. If God had said, except the Lord will build the house, they will never be able to build. It will be easy for us because we will start to build and nothing will come together and we will know God is not there and the choices will be clearer. But that scripture does not say that if God is not building, that you will not be able to build. The danger in that scripture is that even if God is not building, you can build. It says only the labor and what you are building will be in vain. Are you listening to me tonight? So, I want to ask you as I begin to speak to you to never have the posture or to pray to God or to have the mindset of God build with me. Because that's a dangerous place to be, where I come up with my ideas. And then we know how to pray. We can pray. We can stand the place of prayer. And then we say, God, build with me. And we will never be able to make God build what he is not building. But we can build what he is not building. The posture that you need to have as we discuss our future tonight is, God, show me what you are building so I can build with you. If that makes sense to you, can you give me a good amen? I pray for you, for every young person in the house tonight, that when you get to age 70, just like Dr. Adetunji became 70 last year, our senior pastor, please laugh for that, I appreciate that. Our senior pastor becomes 70 this year. When you get to that age in your life, I know that for many of you that seems very far away, but I can tell you it's not very far. It comes very quickly. When you get to that age, my prayer for you is like Paul, you'll be able to say, I fought a good fight, I finished my race, and henceforth. That's my prayer for every one of you, and I thought I'll get a good amen to that. Yeah. My job tonight, very quickly, is to give you an idea of my journey so far, and perhaps you'll find help one way or the other as part of the lessons of my journey, particularly if that journey will take you outside of this country, that you might find something useful. I'm telling a story very quickly of the faithfulness of God. But I wanted to mark my words very clearly tonight. The faithfulness of God that I speak about is in no wise faithfulness to me. No, we miss it there. The faithfulness of God is faithfulness to his purpose. So, how I get into the faithfulness of God is to be in the center of God's purpose. God will be faithful to his purpose, to his design, to his plan. So what I need to do, what you need to do to be in the center of God's faithfulness is to find yourself in the center of God's plan. There is none of you tonight, like you've heard already from him, that there is none of us tonight who has no clear purpose of God before he formed you, he knew you. And so, if you and I are going to enter into God's faithfulness, all you need to do is to just be at the center of God's will for your life. Can I get another amen to that? Yeah. What I want to do is, I'll split this into three parts very quickly because of the time. I guess we'll have more time to discuss in the question time. The first part is I'll speak to you about why did I leave the shores of Nigeria? So my why. Second part, I'll speak to you about the early years of my journey, of my sojourn in a foreign land, to those early years. But I'll spend most of my remaining time to then bring us a couple of what I think are the success factors for me. And hopefully those things can become useful to you as well. Because this is not my typical, what I like to do is to preach the gospel, to preach and all that. That's not really what I'm meant to do tonight. So it's meant to tell a story. I'm not usually a very good storyteller. But what I will try to do with it is, as I tell a story, I will plant in nuggets in the middle of it. About four or five of them I'll deliberately give you, so that even if you don't understand the stories, you can pick those nuggets in the middle of it. And we've got 20 minutes to quickly run through that. Are we ready for that? Can I get you to speak to me, people? Are we ready for that? All right, let's begin with my why. So 25 years ago was when I left the shores of Nigeria to go to Germany. But before that, I just had this call of God on my life. If you ask me to explain how, why, and all that, I don't know. But I found that at an 18, 19 year old, I just had this thing that God has called me to the nation of Germany. So as I came into UI, in 1992 at 17. I think I was 1992 when I came to UI. I got myself, I can't even remember where I got it. I got a map of Germany and I put on the wall on my student hostel. And anybody that met me knew I was going to Germany. Anybody. When I came to the Stone Church in 1993 and I first spoke to the senior pastor, the first thing I said to him is, God has called me to go to Germany. I'm sure he was looking at me at this 17-year-old. Where were you? Where was God even talking to you and all of that? Everybody I knew, I said I was going to Germany. When I met my wife, the first things I said to her, I cannot lie, she's here. One of the first things I said to her is, I'm going to Germany. That was after she agreed. Because if I said that before, she would have married me because I'm going to Germany. But after she agreed, then I said, I'm going to Germany. Everywhere around me was all around that purpose. So I finished in UI, 1999. I finished in UI with first class honors in mechanical engineering. And you know how it is in those days. Very quickly, there were job offers on the table. And while I was getting ready to go into my service year, there was a concrete job offer to do my service year in an oil company. And thereafter, to continue to work in the oil company. But remember, I'm this guy, by that stage, 1999, I was then already 23, 24. At that stage, I had carried that vision for this many years. And I knew in my heart, no, I'm going to Germany. God called me to Germany. If I go bury myself in some oil company, I'm going to make some good money, but I will derail that vision. So what I did was, I refused it. And you can imagine that my father at that time, who of course, the particular job contract that I had came through my dad, and I said, no. And he said, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to the Stone Church and I'm going to do my service here at the Stone Church office, learning how to run a ministry. So that's what I did. I'm trying to tell you the basis of how, where we are today came. So I spent my service year here at the office with the senior pastor. So I finished mechanical engineering, first degree, first class honors. And I'm serving at the outchurch office, just learning. I went through the senior pastor. I traveled with him. I carried his Bible. I learned how to do ministry in all of those years. And then I finished. By the time I was finishing my service year, and it was about time to start going, and another thing happened. I want you to follow me tonight. I got a full scholarship to have a master's degree at Cambridge University. A scholarship, master's degree, Cambridge University. But there was only one problem. Cambridge University, where is it? Talk to me, everybody. Where is it? It's in the United Kingdom. God did not call me to the United Kingdom. So what did I do again? I refused it. But this time around, I was smart enough, I didn't even tell my parents. Because for some reason, the admission letter, the scholarship letter came into my hands, and my parents didn't know about it. So I told nobody. because I'm going to Germany. So I applied for a German visa to go study and have a master's degree. But of course, I knew I was just going for this purpose. So I applied for a master's for the visa. Applied for the visa. They refused. But you know what I did? I applied again. And then this time around, they were not going to refuse. Why did I tell you all of that? To make this one point that is very important tonight. I was never an economic migrant. And that's extremely important to many of you that I speak to tonight. Where it begins to go wrong is the reason why we go abroad. So let me say to us tonight, if you go abroad, is to join an army. Let me look at your neighbor and say, if you go abroad, talk to me everybody, if you go abroad, is to join an army. Let me give us my first nugget very quickly right there. My first nugget that I want you to, because I'm telling a story, but there can be all kinds of things in it. Things that I really want you to write down to take home with you. So I'll read this to us. I'll read it a little bit long. I said, even if it starts, for everybody that is thinking tonight, I want to travel abroad or whatever, even if it starts for you as an economic decision, you must very quickly, young people, please listen to me. You must very quickly reprogram your mind to a journey of purpose. So I've decided I'm going to travel abroad. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do. I'm going to travel abroad. I'm saying to us, even if it starts with you as an economic decision, I ask you to very quickly reprogram your mind and say, I'm going to be a migrant with a purpose. Let me press this on. I'm saying to you young people tonight, you may not be as exact as I was. I was very exact. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do and all of that. Everybody will not be as exact as that. But it must be clear that your life is for serving God. It must be clear that your life is for serving God. Let me wrap up that first nugget that I give you tonight. That if you travel abroad with the mindset, listen closely people, if you travel abroad with the mindset of an economic migrant, you will waste your life. If you travel abroad, notice I did not say you won't make money and all of that. I said you will waste your life. Because, of course, the Bible teaches us, Luke 12 and in verse 15, that a man's life, the quality of a man's life does not consist in any way, but in the abundance of the things that the man may possess. So if you travel abroad with the mindset of an economic migrant and you make that the thrust of your life, at the end of it, when you get to 60, when you get to 70, you would have wasted the strength of your youth chasing what is nothing. If you hear nothing tonight, if you don't remember anything else, please remember that I said that to us. Can I get a good amen to that? Amen. Let me press this on very quickly. I'm telling the story. So, of course, finally I got a visa in the year 2000 and I traveled to Berlin. I was going to Berlin for a master's program in production engineering precisely on the 19th of October of year 2000. That's 25 years ago. How time flies. That's what I mean when I said to you that if you think I have a lot of time. When I left Nigeria 25 years ago, I look back to it now and it feels like a few weeks ago. Then I was 25. Now I am 50. So, a half of my existence has just flown past in front of me in these last 25 years. So, October 19th of year 2000, I got to Germany. I'll tell you a quick story about the night that I got to Germany. And it becomes a good part of the story. When I arrived, I didn't know any soul in Berlin. I'll tell you the truth tonight. That day when I arrived at the airport, Tegel Airport in Berlin, if you ask me, young man, where are you spending the night today? I could not tell you. I didn't know a single soul. I had no job waiting. I had nothing. But I had a vision of God. I had admission to the university. So I stepped out of the airport. I was wearing some flimsy jacket, not a jacket, a sweater from Nigeria. I stepped out. It was so cold. October was not yet so cold, but for me, I've never gone out of Nigeria in my life. I mean, some of you, I know you have all your summer holidays in Cardiff, and you go to America for summer holiday. I was not like that. I come from Ekiti.
So when I entered the plane on the day I left Nigeria, it was the first time I saw, I said, this is what a plane looks like. So when I got to Berlin and I stepped out of the airport, it was so cold, I went back inside. Then I got myself ready to come out again. So I came out finally. All I could do was I knew the address of the university I was going. So I got into a taxi and I gave him the address. This is the university that gave me admission and I'm going there. Now, that day when I entered that taxi, it took many more years before I entered another taxi. A taxi is a luxury, yeah? But I had no option. I had no way to. I didn't know how to take a bus. So I took the taxi. It took me to the main administrative building of the university, dropped me in front there. They don't talk to anybody. The driver dropped me, collected his money, and he's gone. So I'm carrying my luggage. I'm standing there. Here I come. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Everything is written in German. I have no clue whatsoever. I tell you the truth, I kid not. A young man walked up to me. I said, do you need help? I said, you bet I need help. That young man took me, took my luggage, got me a place to spend that night. The next morning, he said, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, I am coming. When I woke up the next morning, he knocked on my door, woke me up, got me ready. I'd never met him before. He took me to every office where I needed to register, everything I needed to do, where I needed to get a job, where I needed to do things, where my lectures would be, everything for the next weeks. That angel of God was taking me all over the place. Can we appreciate God for that? I can tell you that there were difficult times and difficult days in those early years. But every time it happened, I remembered that the same God who delivered from so great a death and who doth deliver and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. So every time things happen, there were dark days, my friends. I got married, I left my wife in Nigeria, and I went into a strange country. And there were moments, I can tell you, where I was in a dark, low place. But every time that happened, I remember God sent me an angel. For a month, that guy was helping me. Somewhere along the line, the guy disappeared. If you ask me, where is he today? Who is he today? I do not know. God sent me an angel. Can I use that to give you my second nugget for tonight before I just press this on? Write this down. In God's will, you can be sure of opposition, but even more sure of God's help. Remember I started with the fact that I'm telling a story of faithfulness, but it's not faithfulness to a man. It's faithfulness to a purpose. If you are in the center of God's will, of course there will be opposition, but even much more, you can be sure of God's help. Nugget number two that I bring us tonight. Let me now spend the rest of my time. So, of course, all of those difficult days came as they will come to everybody. And if anybody tells you that going to Europe is a walk in the park or going to America is a walk in the park, you tell them that they are very good at telling lies. I'll give you very quickly four things that I consider to be success factors for me personally. And in the meantime, while I give you these success factors, I'll continue to throw in a number of these nuggets. I've given you two of them already. Number one success factor is this. Are you coming along with me, people? Talk to me. Are you coming along with me? Because I don't like to just be talking and, you know, there's no response in the room. It's good so that we know where we are. Number one is this. I didn't put the cart before the horse. And I'll explain myself. What I call my number one success factor. I did not put the cart before the horse. When I left Nigeria, what did I say I was going to do? Talk to me, people. What did I say I was going to do? Talk to me, everybody. I said God called me to ministry. Please help me wake up that man. Wake him up. He needs to hear what I'm... Yes, wake him up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't sleep. Okay. So, but what happens to you is this. When you arrive in a strange land, and I've seen this over and over, you begin to tell yourself, I need some time to settle down. I need some time to sort myself out. Then when I've sorted myself out, then I will begin to. Many times we've seen people that maybe migrate and we say, come to church, brother, and join us. Church is here and all that. I'm still trying to just sort myself out and settle down and all that. But one of the things God helped me to do was very quickly, when I got to Berlin, like I said to you, in October. So October, November, December, when Christmas was over, at the beginning of January, I started Stone Church. Now, that sounds very easy. But imagine this. This young man has never been there before. I'm here within 3 months. I don't know anybody. I began to go for lectures. And then I just woke up one day. I remember God sent me here for a purpose. I'm still trying to sort myself out. I don't even know the way to my lectures very well already and all that. But the reason I came here was for the purpose of God's work. So 3 months into it, when I didn't even know my way around, I put up a notice in my student hostel. And I said, the Stone Church Bible study. And that leads me to my third nugget for you. I want you to remember this. In life, the ongoings will consume your zest if you don't fight for and prioritize purpose. If I let it lay low for some years and say, let me spend a year to settle down, I can tell you I will still be settling down today. And I know many like that. Many like that. Who came with a passion, with all of that. But the life itself, it will consume all of your energy, all of your zest, the ongoings, the things you have to deal with, the bills. Remember, I left a wife back home in Nigeria. All of the ongoings will consume all of your zest. And before you know what's happening, the priorities will begin to shift. So the first thing that I consider personally that helped me was, even when I didn't know my right from my left, I very quickly made sure that the purpose was in front of it. Can I get an amen to that? Number two success factor, moving on very quickly, is this. I didn't let my times of failure define me as a failure. Today I can say that we haven't failed. But in those early years, you could not say that we hadn't failed. But I didn't allow, and I want to really minister to people's heart tonight, even irrespective of the concept of traveling or not traveling and all of that, I never allowed my failure to call me a failure. When I started Bible study, remember I told you that within 3 months I said, I'm starting Bible study. I put up a notice. The very first day that we had that Bible study, I mean, this is me with all my anointing. A old pastor, Alex Adegboye, had trained me for years. Now I'm in Berlin and I put up a notice, I'm starting Bible study. And I put the date, the time, the location was going to be in my student room. And then one person came. That was good enough. I'm sure you're laughing at me, but you should be clapping for me. One person came. One person, at least a human being with a head, with everything. He came. He showed up for the Bible study. I saw him. And I sat down. If I think back to this now, I laugh at myself. On that day, I looked at the man. I said, this man has come today. So my topic for the day was hellfire. And when I finished, you know, it was a German young man, a university student. And he saw something and he was another, and he just came. And the Germans are usually very frank. We finished and I said, so next week we are going to be continuing on this subject. And he said to me, actually, I'm never coming again in my life. And from that day, I never saw him again in my life. But church has started. And it looked like failure. There were tough, tough, tough days. I don't have the time to speak to you about tough days. Look, I was so poor that you could use me as a reference for poverty. I was so poor. Remember, I'm a pastor now. I'm planting a church. I didn't even have a suit. You know, this one that they say that if you want to start a church, you have a suit. I didn't have a suit. But finally, one day, there was sales. And they had this gray, dark gray. I remember it very well. Dark gray suit. It was on sales. So I bought it. So every Sunday, you could tell what pastor was going to wear. So I had my dark gray suit, and I'll go to church. Then one day, my mind said to me, why are you wasting your time taking this suit back home every day? I just hung it somewhere in the church. Because there is no, it's when you have many that you take it back home. Maybe you wear the brown next week. So I just hung it in. Every day I just come and put it on. That was the life that I had. I tell you something. I was this church planter in my own eyes. But Monday to Friday, I was a student. And I was going around in restaurants. And I was washing plates at restaurants. And I would go early in the morning at 5 a.m. and wash plates in a particular restaurant, in an hotel. Actually, they will have all these guests over the night. And then 5 in the morning till 7, I'll wash plates. Then 8 o'clock will be my first lecture. And I'll have lectures till the evening. And then evening, I'll have another restaurant where I was going to go wash plates. That was the life. And then on Sunday, I'll put on my dark gray suit and I'm preaching the word of God. Tough times. And in the middle of all of that, we were trying to get my wife to come. And we couldn't get her to come for 4 years. For 4 years, 2000, I went 2004 before we could get her. By the time she now came and joined me, then I became whole. I became a person. But I'm saying to you tonight that all of those years that were hard years were years where, according to the word of God, let me read the scripture very quickly. We're troubled on every side, Paul said, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down. But we're not destroyed. You will have tough days, my friends. Either you travel or you don't travel or whatever. As you build this, your life, there will be tough days. But you must never let them define you. Can I get a good amen to that? Yeah. Number three, success factor, very quickly. Number three, success factor. And I'll spend some time on this one. Every economic, listen closely. Every economic activity always took the backstage to purpose. All of us will have bills to pay. We have visions. We have things we want to do. So there will be economic activity to do. But for me, on my mind, they always took the backstage to purpose. Let me tell you a story right there. Remember that I told you that I had an old company job that I left? And in my mind, I left it. And I left it for the purpose of God. December of 2003. December 2003. I actually was just playing around and I put in an application to Shell as an oil company. And then one Sunday morning, I did the application to a point, I left it. Then I came back and then finally one day I just submitted it out of just playing around. One Sunday morning, before I went to church, I opened my email and on a Sunday morning, they had written me an email inviting me for a series of interviews. I went for interviews like joke, called a final interview. When I got to that final interview, there was an elderly woman in that interview panel, on the panel. The moment I walked in, she was smiling, she was laughing with me. The way she was looking at me, I knew this woman is in love with me. Elderly lady, I have this job. When I leave this panel, if anybody here says, don't give that Nigerian boy the job, that woman will fight for me. God put her there in the panel for me. So of course, I got the job. But that job, listen closely to me now, that job was a chance and also a trap. Eventually, I believe we've been able to do what we've been able to do in these last 20 years because I took the chance and avoided the trap. I'll explain myself. The trap was this. They gave me the job, gave me a salary that blew my mind as a young person that had never had a real job. But the job was going to be in the United Kingdom. It was a chance because it was like God repaying me for what I gave up many years ago before I left Nigeria. But right there was that trap. It looked very attractive to just pack my luggage and move to the UK. At that time in 2003, our church was now maybe 2-3 years old or something. There were three people. If the day I have 5 people in church, everybody knows church was full today. That's where we were. And now I have this opportunity. I can just pack my luggage and move to the UK. If I had done that, I would have squatted the purpose of God. But I remembered, God didn't call me to the UK. I remembered Cambridge with scholarship. I didn't take it then. Why would I take it now? So, I was faced with that. You know what I did? I took the chance of the job. But I said, I am not moving to the UK. What that meant for me was this. Every Friday, I'll take a flight from Scotland and fly back into Berlin to go have Bible study and have church service on Sunday. And then Sunday night, on Monday morning, I'll take a flight back to the United Kingdom to go do the job from Monday to Friday. Now, at that point in time in our church, of course, you know that church cannot pay for my flight to come back. I mean, I said there are two or three people in the church. So I'll fly back every weekend to that service. And I'll come back, and everybody that sees me thinks I'm going for some conference with a million people in that conference. No, I'm going back to the Bible study at the Stone Church Berlin with two or three people to go do it. And that went on for 2-3 years until my wife came, and then I had relief. But all through 3-4 years that I worked in the UK, I never, not once, spent one weekend in the UK. Not one weekend. 3 years long. Every weekend, non-stop, I'm going back. And I'm going back to that church of two or three people. I'm speaking to us tonight about the fact that the blessing of the Lord could become a roadblock to destiny. Am I talking to people tonight? Or this evening? Are you listening to me this evening? So I'm asking you, let me read my summary of this third one to you this way. Just let me read it to you. Then I'll give you my fourth and I'll begin to close this. Every time that I faced the choice between a financially or professionally profitable move, but that will make purpose to suffer, I chose God. Every time those choices will come in front of me, there were many times when professionally I could make a move, but the purpose of God will suffer, the church will suffer, and all of that will happen. It was not difficult for me at all. I always chose God. Sometimes I say at great expense. My friends, today, this many years down the line, in the final analysis, there is nobody that we started career together 25 years ago. None. I know all of them. They're my colleagues. There's nobody that financially or professionally has done better than I have done at the end of it all. Remember, I'm speaking to us about faithfulness of God to purpose down the line. And number four point that I make to us then, these things that I call my, what am I calling them? My nugget. Number four nugget is this. You must have clarity of mission. What's your life about? I mean, I'm using the example of church and me as a pastor. Not everybody is a pastor. Purpose in the kingdom of God. Your life is about that. If you don't bow to the rat race, you will not burn. But I can tell you, particularly in Europe and in America and all of many of these places, the rat race consumes destinies. The chasing after things, it consumes destinies. A major success factor for me, God helped me. I always made sure that none of those things will come ahead. And number four, my last success factor, and then I'll summarize for you very quickly, is this. I've never in my life used racism to excuse my failures. Many people, I agree there is institutionalized racism in the Western world. Race is a big factor. But I believe a major thing that has helped me personally, helped my family, and I instilled this in our children as well, is this. If we use racism as the excuse, it will become a clutch on which we'll excuse our failures. I've never told myself the reason I didn't get something is because I'm a black man. No. If I am good enough, they cannot deny what I can do. So I make sure on my job as a professional, I know what I am talking about. I know what I am doing. I don't put it at the back of my mind. So if any of you will end up going to a place where you're a foreigner, the concept of a foreigner is only in the mind. I have never seen myself as a foreigner. I have never said something cannot happen to me, or I cannot have that, or I cannot go that far because I'm a foreigner. Racism is there, but the Bible says in the presence of our enemies, God will set a table in front of us. Can I get a good amen to that? So I beg you, you will hear many people, many of the people that are gone ahead of you, they will say, in this country, they are racist. They will not let you do this. I don't entertain that. I don't listen to that. Anywhere that they can enter, I can enter. Whatever they can do, I can do. When I began as an engineer in Europe, I found that a lot of the things they taught me in UI, I hope there's none of my lecturers here, a lot of the things they taught me in UI were just theory. The real practice of it, I did not know. But then as a black man myself, I said, oh, it's good. We'll learn it together. So there was never a point where I had a sense of inferiority. I beg you, you are not inferior to anybody. Can I get a good amen to that? If the devil can put on your mind that you are second class, if the devil can put on your mind that those people, whatever is left is what they leave for us, then you don't do well. But if the mindset is, I'm the son of a king, whatever the word of the king is, there is power. I've come in his name. I've come in his purpose. And you are sure you are in the plan of God for your life. I can tell you, no racism can stop you. Let me close here very quickly. I'm well over my time and summarize like this. Apologize for taking a little bit more time, but let me summarize like this. My friends, your life is not yours. Look at neighbor for me, say, your life is not yours. The longest day you live, remember, your life is not yours. Pleasing God, I'm summarizing. Pleasing God is the only thing worth living for. Pleasing God is the only thing that is worth living for. I said to you this afternoon that if you end up abroad, money cannot be your reason, or else your life will be spent chasing it. If you end up abroad, and this applies to anybody, either you go abroad or not, but we're speaking in the context of that tonight. If you end up abroad, money must not be your reason, I beg you, or else you will spend all of your life chasing it. I said to myself, I was still thinking recently, if economic pursuit could not derail the 25-year-old me, how can the devil think the 50-year-old me can now be derailed by economic pursuit? No way. At 25, he could not succeed to derail me. Now at 50? Mm-mm. If you end up abroad, my friends, it is for such a time as this. We need people. We need laborers for the work of the ministry. We need people. We need laborers. We need hands. We need purposeful men and women that will run with the work of God. I can tell you stories after stories of where you will say, oh, if only there were hands to do what God is doing in these places. So if it's on your heart to travel abroad, I beg you, quickly reposture yourself to a life of purpose for a time as this. I said to you very, very clearly, if you end up abroad, you can do well. We have done well. My wife and I have done well. Dr. Adetunji speaking to us tonight has done well. But I can tell you also many more that have not done well. So I said to you, if you move abroad in the purpose of God with the right mindset, you can do well in God. A final statement then, before I go to sit, is you don't have to go abroad to do life. Can you help your neighbor tonight? Say, you don't have to go abroad to do life. Thank you.